When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're live. Welcome to A Hard Knocks Life. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen is my best friend and former co-host of Hallis to Mac, Matt Winter. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me. And it's crazy to think 4 years ago, we were talking ourselves into a Mitch Trubisky playoff season. Justin Fields hadn't even happened yet. And now we're in the Caleb Williams era. And it's crazy how the NFL can change in 4 years.
You know, it's funny. I went back and I re-listened to that final episode where we were kind of predicting the future. I think we were kind of on it, though, to be quite honest with you, because we talked about Trubisky and we were like, I just don't think he's the guy. And there was still a lot of questions and optimism around that. But, you know, we did kind of call it. We didn't know exactly what was going to happen next. We certainly didn't see some of the moves that were being made. But, yeah, that series has held up a little bit, especially when you as a historian, it's nice to be able to do the history part because those things can be evergreen. So if those of you have no idea what I'm talking about and like Bears history, you can try to find those. Maybe try to re-release those. Maybe we do an update episode at some point. But the reason why I wanted to have you on for Hard Knocks Life was because we have been watching Hard Knocks together for a very long time. And I remember having these conversations with you like, well, wouldn't it be cool if the Bears were on this?
Well, yeah. And back when they first started, I think obviously they were trying to get in on, you know, the reality TV era was just beginning. And I think if you look at the history of Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks is maybe one of the most real reality TV shows out there where nothing's really pre-produced or anything. This is just them capturing NFL action. And you look at the formula. I went back this summer and watched a bit of the Ravens one, which was the first one. And the formula really hasn't changed. There's a hotshot rookie. You follow the big personalities. And usually there's a couple guys on the bubble, and it's always worked. The formula really hasn't changed that much in the last 23, 24 years, however long it's been on. But yeah, the word was that we would never see the Bears on it. And so when we started getting this new leadership in the town, I think we were both kind of on like hoping, ooh, there's a chance that we could see the Bears on it. And it is the perfect year for the Bears to have it with our number one draft pick, Jeff.
It's the perfect year for a lot of reasons. It's the perfect year because there's so much excitement. It's the start of a new era. We just had the Hall of Fame game, which they obviously featured in the first episode where Devin Hester went in. You are wearing your number 23 jersey. I just closed out my podcast series called Bronze Bears. And I start that episode with a clip of an interview that I had with Chester, who was we dubbed Chester for Hester. So if you haven't listened to that, that was fun. At least just go listen to Chester, because he really encapsulated, I think, what Hall of Fame weekend's all about. But that's a really good point. And Kevin Warren does make a couple of appearances in this episode. Maybe he'll filter his way into a category. If not, maybe we'll talk about this later. But let's kick off the categories. The first one is our Little Annie Orphan Annie Award.
This great is name, by the way. That's awesome.
We're trying to incorporate that Hard Knocks Life, into this. So the Annie Award is for the underdog story. So it's anybody that's just not like a frontline starter. Who did you have that really stuck out to you as the underdog moment?
I had a lot of guys stick out to me, and I think there's a lot of guys this could have gone to. But I think by the end of the episode, it was clearly Tyson Bagent in this role. And I think we were both, for an undrafted free agent, we were a pretty big fan of his last year. And he came in and I thought did really, really well in the games that he played for, again, an undrafted rookie. And just to see him get some screen time and get to know him a little better. And oh my God, his dad could have his own reality show. I could have used 10 more minutes of his dad. I thought that was incredible. And just, I think we're in a great spot. If this guy's our backup quarterback on the contract that he's going to be under, I think we're in a really good spot with the quarterback position there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bajent is, you know, he came in last year. That arm strength wasn't really all that impressive. You would probably say a below average NFL arm, but was able to run an offense. You could tell he had a ton of reps. And I sort of called him like a poor man's Gardner Minshew. And that wasn't an insult. I love Gardner Minshew, right? And Gardner Minshew is like the absolute best backup quarterback that you can have. Or he's like a low end starter. Like that's basically what Gardner Minshew is. So if you have a guy that's trying to get up to that level as your backup quarterback, that's a great position to be in. And there was actually a quote in the episode about, hey, I think it was from Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan cameo, Ryan Poles blocked for Matt Ryan,
That. Did you know that before the episode? Cause I thought, what is Matt Ryan doing here?
Well, I mean, I did need to get reminded of the Boston College connection before. I was like, yes, I did know that. But yeah, and you knew that Ryan Poles had his cup of coffee with the Bears in training camp, right? Like that.
Absolutely. That
was, okay. So he said, yeah, he looks like he's made big improvements. And, you know, if this is a guy you need to basically, you know, come in and close a gap for a week or two, you're in a really good position. And I think that's true. Like he has shown growth and, you know, he's got some quotes that have been out there grinding his face off, and the broad jump burpee mile that he was doing, which sounds like,
how many times have you done the broad jump burpee mile, Jeff?
I think I could probably get about 10 yards. Yeah. There's no way that I'm going to do that.
I want to know how long that takes. Like, God, hours.
It has to be like a couple hours. Yeah. That's insane. No, and I will not be trying it. One of my friends and colleagues, Nicholas Mariano, tried to do some of it, but there's no way that he got the whole thing. No, that's a dumb thing. I left burpees behind in like the eighth grade. I don't think I want to.
Great workout, Jeff. You're missing them. Works everything.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of repressed bad memories from like middle school gym burpees, I think is what I'm leaving those behind. Mr. Eagleton can keep those. That's an inside joke for Matt and I. All right. So I think I agree with you. I don't think there's really anybody else. It did kind of become, you know, a major segment for Bajent. And obviously he had a really nice preseason game, and that's really good to see. And that's really good. The dad, I'm actually going to disagree with you. I think I had enough of him, but I think I had enough of him last year. But I will say, like, the arm wrestling thing, maybe we need to see more of the arm wrestling thing and less of his reactions. I was kind of like, yeah, we're good on that. But he's like an all-star arm wrestler.
He is definitely a character. I wonder, I'm sure his son gets a kick out of him, but like, his dad is just on the sidelines, owning the sidelines. I loved it. I thought he was almost larger than life. I would watch 20 minutes on him.
Yeah. He was on a lot last year. They featured him a lot last year.
That's true.
Just on the sidelines and stuff. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I think I'm good there. But you're actually like a legitimately decent arm wrestler. So maybe that was what you were feeling.
Believe it or not, yeah, this wiry frame back in the day could hold my own against people a lot bigger than me. Certainly not as big as Tyson Bajan's dad, but yeah, it's all about form, Jeff. It's all about form and leverage.
Form and leverage. I tell you, I was much stronger than you, but you whipped me every time in arm wrestling. It was not a firm. It does not make sense to me to this day.
Still doesn't.
Let's move on to the Jay-Z Award, the coolest moment of the episode. I had a couple of different like kind of surprise moments in this episode that I thought we could shoehorn in here, but what did you come up with?
This moment happened relatively early and I wanted to be able to get rid of it, but you know, every year we see these moments on the show, it's they get up in front and it's usually just so cringy, and I almost just want to skip through it every time. But man, Austin Reed got up there and I'm just thinking, God, he's kind of dorky.
Oh yeah.
I'm just like, what is going to happen here? And then he starts and you can just kind of feel the audience is just like, ooh, we're not sure about this. But like 10 seconds later, 15, he has them in the palm of his hand. They are loving it. And if that's about as tough a room as you're going to get, like if you can impress those guys as a what is he, an undrafted free agent quarterback?
Like, yeah. $5,000 signing bonus.
Moment. And I don't pretend to know what song he was singing or who it was by.
I was going to ask you.
I have no idea. I just know everyone in that room seemed to love it. And, man, he was getting high fives at the end, and he owned it. And he comes off great in the show, just happy to be here. But, like, hey, I'm also kind of decent, and I maybe can – I don't know if he's – what good a shot he has of being a roster spot for the Bears. I imagine it's not great. But, yeah, maybe catch on somewhere, or maybe with the Bears on the practice squad. I know they – what, they changed the QB rules, so maybe it's more likely, the QB roster rules.
There's definitely a difference in the QB roster rules, and Lester's going to kill me for not having it memorized like he does, but like you can keep an extra player on the 53, so you can dress a guy, but it doesn't count against your inactives or something like that. So a lot of teams did take advantage of having a third quarterback on the roster, but yeah, it'll be interesting, right? They've got four guys. I think they like the four guys and for the different various roles that they have, but it'll be interesting to see what he does. And I think I had no idea what the song was, and you are much better at pop culture than I am. So I was going to ask you, but that whole room knew.
The whole room knew. So obviously he was doing a great job. I struggle sometimes if someone else is singing a song. I don't think I would have known it anyway, but I mean, he owned the moment, and I'm just sitting there on my couch, just a huge, silly grin on my face. I'm like, this is awesome. I couldn't top that moment. That gets my Jay-Z award.
Well, I love your pick. And I think it's the reverse camera angle. It's the camera angle to the crowd that wins it. Because if it's just on him, like you can kind of hear the support of the group, but when you watch everybody, they're all on it, and you know, they're
out of their seats, like, what's he gonna do? Loving it.
They're loving it.
It was a great moment.
Yeah, that's a great moment. I had a couple. I think the whole Velus Jones ferret story is.
I wrote that down as well.
It's kind of fun, right?
I had never heard of the ferret story before.
So the ferret made like a very brief appearance in the last episode, and then at a press conference, he was up there. And there was just this like, you know, huge Twitter buzz about it after the episode. And so he talked more about it, and he told that story. So they showed part of that press conference where he explained like how they got the ferret and, you know, who, you know, Michael Pittman and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, in real time with Twitter, like we were following it. And then Lester has a ferret that his wife adopted, this like elderly ferret. So he's been like taking care of this ferret because it's in the room with him all the time. And so he's actually like enjoyed, you know, this companionship of this ferret. So it's just, it's kind of been this fun little circle. But I thought that was just kind of cool to see more of that. You know, I love animals anyway. So that was kind of fun. I think the Simone Biles moment where she's wearing a custom jacket of her husband, Jonathan Owens, in a Packers, like she's the GOAT.
She can do whatever she wants, Jeff. That's what I said
at the time. She can do whatever she wants. Like she can get away with it, but let's also get her a Bears thing. Right. But when they show her on the show and someone's like, hey, they're killing you for this. And she's like, yeah, this is not good. Like I need to ditch this or whatever she said. I was like, we were all part of that. We're like, hey, you know, like you can do whatever you want, but also like, let's get you some Bears gear here. Like it's preseason. We're all getting into the groove of things, but let's get you some Navy and orange.
She seems pretty savvy. I'm sure she'll learn from
she'll
that.
Figure it out.
She'll deck that in Bears stuff next time.
So I thought it was not that she wore the Packers thing. That was not a cool moment. It was the realization and then like kind of being part of that, of kind of calling that out. But for me, what's going to get the Jay-Z award is actually the stadium mock-up. And, you know, a little bit of Kevin Warren, you know, in the meeting and talking about fixed seats and movables, like that's not very cool, but the actual, like showing what it might look like on the lakefront. And that felt pretty real to me. Like there's nothing that has been said like, hey, we know for sure we're going to build on the, cause there's some talk about, maybe wait till after the elections and stuff like that before you get anything official. But this is Kevin Warren's here to build a stadium on the lakefront. That's what he's here for.
Yeah. And he seems like if it's possible, this guy's going to get the job done. I haven't paid as close attention to the stadium talk the last year because I kind of felt like it was going to happen out in the suburbs. And then that kind of, I don't know the status of that quite. I just haven't followed it as much because I kind of got tired about hearing about it. But I'm with you where tonight it was very cool to see what it might look like and different examples that we might have. And yeah, I would, that'd be pretty exciting to go to a game in that type of facility.
Yeah, we've been to a game together. We're going to go to another game this fall. We want to, you know, see the start of the Caleb Williams era. You know, we did go to see the start of the Justin Fields era. So
he won. He played really well.
Yeah, it was against the Lions. That was the first, I think, the first home start, I believe, is what it was. And, you know, a victory and everything looked like it was going to be gravy. But we're going to go to this one. It's not the first start, but it's early on, so we'll be there in early October, I believe. So, all right, well, let's move on to the best soundbite. There was a lot of pretty decent quotes in this one. I think we could go a lot of different ways, but what did you come up with?
I have a very close honorable mention, but my quote was from Caleb early in the episode where he said, "Practice is harder than the game." And from someone who I've coached a lot, I loved to hear something like that because that tells me a couple things, that he's being pushed in practice, that he's getting better in practice, and that this is someone where you often hear about rookies their first year in NFL, maybe one of their first preseason games, where they just say, it's moving so fast, it's just I wasn't ready for the speed. And that doesn't appear to be the case with Caleb. Caleb appears to just be like, this is what he's supposed to do. He's ready for the moment. He's getting the proper coaching and practice, and he is ready. And so he said, practice is harder than the game. And I think that speaks very highly also to Coach Flus, who was putting him and all the players in situations where, like, that's your goal as a coach, where, you know, you don't want an athlete to get into the game and be faced with situations that they're not ready for. And so if you can push them in practice like that, where the game is almost easier, then I think that's great. So that was my quote. I do have an honorable mention, but what did you have, Jeff?
Well, I just want to stay on that quote for a moment. I had that written down as one of mine that I wanted to make sure we talked about, because I think that, you know, part of what we talk about is, well, the Bears have a potentially a really good defense. And so, of course, like, you know, I think some people are going to take that as, well, that's because the Bears have a good defense and he wasn't facing a defense that was as good, or he's in the game facing a vanilla scheme and whatever. But what I took from it is, you know, Eberflus, again, I was ready to fire him because you know, he certainly cost this team games with some of his in-game decision-making and all that. But now I'm cheering for a success. So, like, I'm, you know, you got to have some
stability. Like,
so let's go, right? And so you see what I think is a very carefully crafted plan from before the draft, right? Like, they were using the pre-draft meetings with Caleb to install the offense. They were, you know, sending him home with, you know, homework basically until the next time they met, right? And then they draft him. And then everything has been really well thought out. And even to using these practices, it seems like Eberflus is like, hey, I'm going to use this team period to throw stuff at you. I'm not going to have you go against the twos and just like run some base. I'm going to throw some exotic blitzes at you. I'm going to throw, you know, we're going to challenge you to make sure that you can recognize the coverage. I'm going to switch the coverage. I'm going to give you as hard as I can. And I think that that's been really nice to see, because if you're being challenged in practice, it should be easier in the game because now you've seen it all. You're not going to get super confused, and you're not going to see it all in your first year or anything. Like, I mean, that's just not you can't see the entire league before you get into your first game. But Eberflus, I think, is really preparing him about as well as you possibly can.
And how big of an advantage is it for him to be the starter from day one? Like, if you go back the list of Bears drafted first-round quarterbacks, Fields had to sit behind Dalton, Trubisky behind, what's-his-face, Glennon. Rex Grossman didn't start right away. I think it was like, what, Chris Chandler? Caden McNown? Oh, my God, don't want to talk about him. Like, he has been the guy from day one. He's taking all the reps against the ones. He's getting against a very good number one defense. Like, I know we've got to temper our expectations of Caleb as Bears fans, but everything we're seeing is looking really good.
Actually, you can't go back in Bears history and find somebody who was drafted as a rookie quarterback that started from week one. It's just, well, maybe you can, but like, not like intended to be the starter.
Not the modern,
Well, the early years didn't even have drafts. So I don't even think you can do that. I say that, and then I'm thinking like, oh no, is somebody going to come at me and say like Kyle Orton or something? Like, I guess I'm not sure exactly what the,
fourth round versus backup that got, the year Rex got hurt. Yeah.
So now I say that and I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that without fact checking. But let's move on to a couple of that. And I want to know if I capture your honorable mention here, but I have a funny quote, and that is when Torrey Taylor, the punter, sat down next to Caleb Williams and he said, "Hey man, you said no punts, but we just had three in the first quarter."
Absolutely. And good to see, Jeff and I both grow up watching Iowa Hawkeye football. To see an Iowa Hawkeye on the Bears is pretty fun, let alone a punter. And so, great moment there. I had Austin Booker just continue to get better in the shadows. And the way he said it, I just really believed him. And I've been really enjoying reading about him and watching his highlights. And I know what he's doing right now. He's mostly going up against backups. But you know what? He's dominating against backups. So I really like that quote from him. Here's a guy that was what, a fourth or fifth rounder?
There's a fifth rounder. They gave up next year's fourth to get him.
Fifth rounder. So not much expectations. And he's coming in. And I know they keep saying he's a project. Don't expect much right away. But man, like guys like that, a pass rusher, a disruptor, you root so hard for those guys because the scheme Flus wants to run, you need those guys. And so the way he said it almost gave me like I believe him when he says that. That's not just lip service. I'm going to keep rooting for Austin Booker. And I just really like that quote.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And, the story with Booker is that he transferred, to Kansas, came out probably a year early if he stayed.
Where did he transfer from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know off the top of my head. Bigger school. And so he goes to Kansas and then, I think he plays pretty well, but then he comes out, I think, what everybody says, a year early. And so then you get these draft reports and they say, well, he's raw. Like, why did he transfer? Right. Why did he come out a year early? And there's kind of this, like, I almost think there's a narrative that's built that says, well, this guy probably should have stayed an extra year and worked on some things. So he's really not ready for the NFL, but he's toolsy. And so somebody will take a chance on him and he'll kind of sit in the background and learn a year, put on some weight, and then maybe he can be productive next year. And I think that's a narrative that just gets put on a guy. And you hear it like Jim Miller, I think in the broadcast, he goes, oh, he's really raw. And it's like, well, is he? Like he's showing some counter moves. He's showing a lot in these games and in practices. And so maybe they really just uncovered a gem, right? Like maybe this was, they thought that that's with who they were getting was this project, but maybe he's going to be able to perform early. We're all on Booker's fan base here, but I need to give you my winner of the best soundbite. Caleb Williams says, my job is to rewrite history. And I someone said that to him then he's like, yeah, but that's true. That's what it is. Right. And that's the job description. And
he seems to really get the sense of how starved we are as Bears fans for someone to consistently lead us and win games and just kind of be the quarterback that we really haven't got close with since you and I started watching football. We've never really had the guy that year after year is like, oh, he's a Pro Bowl caliber player each year. And I think he understands that. And I think also he's very, really smart when he says things like that, because I think he gets all sides of the business and the game. And that's a great quote, Jeff.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you have done the history work like we have, and I always get a little irritated with people when they're like, Bears have never had this. And it's like, they have, right? Like Bears have never had a dominant wide receiver. Well, they have. His name's Harlan Hill, but he got injured, right? Like before he could make a Hall of Fame case, right? Well, the Bears have never had a franchise quarterback. And they never had, well, they had Sid Luckman. He won a lot of championships and they drafted Johnny Lujack and he was good. And then he walked away because Hallis didn't pay him, right? They had George Blanda on the roster, right? They had Johnny Lujack and they traded him away because they liked Bobby Lane. They had Bobby Lane on the roster, and they traded him away because they had Johnny Lujack. So, I mean, there's a history, but it's ancient history. And so since the merger, no, the Bears haven't had this figured out. So I think Halas is smiling down upon this move because it seems like they have finally figured this out. And yes, rewriting history really is the last half of this franchise. So it's really great to see that he knows the gravity of which he's coming into and knows that this is a historic franchise and that he really is here to change the narrative.
And I think anyone who follows football at all knows if you can be the guy in Chicago, if you can be the quarterback in Chicago, you know what? They're still talking about the 85 Bears. They're still talking about it. And if Caleb can be that guy, they're going to be talking about him 40 years from now. Like that's how big, you know, this moment could possibly be if he is the guy that can turn this thing around.
Absolutely. And especially if he wins 8 Super Bowls, like he wants to.
But what was the question posed to him exactly? I didn't quite.
I have this somewhere else, but like, let's just do it. No. Let's do it now. So the question was, if you could win 10 Super Bowls, if you could push a button and it would give you 10 Super Bowls, but a Chicago Bears fan would die, would you push the button? And I guess the question is, would you volunteer in the pool of fans to be randomly selected to take one for the team? Because I think, honestly, if this is all known and everybody's like volunteers, like say, yes, I will put myself forward as tribute. And there's like a pool of individuals that have volunteered mm-hmm. for this, right? And Caleb pushes the button. The Bears are going to experience 10 Super Bowl wins over his career. And one of that random pool of fans is going to die as sacrifice, as blood sacrifice, as it were. I think we're talking blood magic. I believe that is what this is.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you volunteer to be part of that pool?
You know, if it's 10 in a row, no. But if it's
10 over 18 years.
10 over the course of the next 30, 40 years, sure, sign me up. Absolutely. And I think most Bears fans that have been doing this a while, I think they would take that deal in a heartbeat.
Because the reality is I think that there's going to be a couple hundred thousand Bears fans that will probably step forward. And so the odds that you're the one, you know.
Very minimal.
And I can see, like, you know, we all come together. We're gonna pitch in. We're gonna take care of your family if you're gonna if you're the one that was unfortunate.
Take care of
short, we'll take care of your family. We're gonna put a statue up, like, because you know you were the blood sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So good to know that. And please, anybody listening, let us know if you
people
would
can comment there, if they would sign
would
up.
Would you do the blood sacrifice for this 10?
And the answer is yes. You all would.
I think it's over Caleb's career, which I think is reasonably, like, let's just call it 20 years. So okay. 10 over 20, you know, that'd be a very long career, but let's call it 10 out of 20 just for round numbers sake. So let us know, would you step forward and put yourself in the pool of candidates to potentially be the blood sacrifice for 10 Super Bowls over the next 20 years? What a great question. I did not know we'd be asking that tonight. Quick break on the other side of this. We'll get into the rest of the categories. And then I want to get Matt's prediction for what the Bears are going to do this year. Stick with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, so the next category, Matt, is best football guy-ism. And I thought there'd be more of this, just like talk that you only hear around a football field. I feel like that's been kind of a a staple in Hard Knocks stuff, where you just get into these random observations or conversations, or, you know, just certain things that just kind of stick out, like, oh yeah, that's a sports thing, or that's a locker room thing, or that's a football field thing. Did anything stick out to you?
A couple things. I liked Flus talking with Caleb early on about Caleb thought he saw a cover one, and then the safety rolled back over, so he knew it was two man, and then so he scrambled, and that was kind of interesting hearing that and the footwork Caleb was talking about. What I had, though, for my answer was I found it very interesting listening to Poles talk about possibly acquiring Matthew Judon, and just talking, you could tell he was really wrestling with it, and he, you know, the offer that he gave, and just, you know, him not wanting to necessarily get too pot committed with one guy that may or may not. I mean, I think if you put him on our football team, it makes a difference. Now, is it worth the amount of money that you have to pay to do that? I don't know. I don't know, but those are decisions he has to make. And I just, you know, the more I see stuff or read stuff or hear stuff about him, there's the more and more impressed I am with him, just how thoughtful he is with kind of answers in any interview. I think so many guys just give canned answers, especially GM types in interviews, where it's, you can tell when he gets a question, yes, he really thinks about it and he'll give a really sincere answer. And so I found that stuff to be the most interesting, where, again, he's going back and forth on, well, if I do it, you know, here's the pros and cons of making this decision, trying to acquire this player. And so that was my best football guy moment. What did you have for that one, Jeff? Because I didn't have a bunch of great ones here.
Yeah, well, I need to address that. I just got a text from my wife, and she booed me for not answering the question because I didn't say whether or not I would step forward into the pool of candidates for the blood sacrifice. I think I would. I think I would. I think you know, I think you have to. I feel more that I now think about and write about this team, you know, for the last 10 years, and you get more and more like detached a little bit. Like you have to kind of think about this as an analyst. And so there's times where, I mean, I know I'm a fan, but there's just these times where I can kind of separate and I kind of observe a little bit more. And so for me, that's more of like an interesting question to ask somebody else that, you know, would you do this? And just kind of funny. And I rarely put myself in that. So I just didn't really think about it. So to make sure that my wife is happy. Yeah, I think I probably would. I don't know if that's going to make her happy, but I probably would step forward.
My wife would rush in here and press it for me. So not even knowing the deal.
Daughters. They said they'd take care of the family, right?
Like that. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You should,
no questions asked.
Bam. You should join. That sounds like a good deal. She'd probably use the proceeds to go see Cowboys games.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, I think that there was two things that stuck out. One is definitely the Eberflus nickname montage. That's a sports thing, but it definitely seems like a football thing where everybody needs a nickname. And we talked about it on a previous episode where, you know, Rome doesn't have a nickname because Rome's already got a cool name, but you know, he's really trying, like he's really trying to give her, and I think Montez Sweat was even like, yeah, he called me like Monster of the Midway, and what was the other one, Beast or something like that. Like he was just like, I don't even know what nicknames he's given me. But that's just, it's kind of cool. And then someone got a question like, has Eberflus given you a nickname yet? And the guy's like, no. And I was like, oh man, like you, now it's like, it's sad because if you don't get a nickname, that like, does he coach not like you? You know? So I just thought that was very football guy. But I think the other one that I liked a little bit more was when the secondary coach, and I'm sorry, I don't know the name off the top of my head, was talking to his guys. He's like, hey, flying to the football, you know, like you're knocking him out. Like he's really getting excited. He goes, you remind me of myself. And it's just always, it kind of feels like you always want to, you know, there's a lot of football guy in that, right? Like where you're like, back in my day, I could do that. You know,
when he said that too, he almost turned to the camera and wink. Like it, yeah. He was just, who was, I couldn't.
I don't know the coaching staff off the top. I apologize.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Back to nicknames real quick. This is not mine, and this is maybe already out there, but for Rome, what about Rome Doomsday?
Rome Doomsday?
Because it kind of, his last name is kind of weird, and it kind of, that was not mine, but I liked it. And so maybe I'm just throwing that out there. seeing if that catches on with all our viewers.
It could be. Yeah, I like trying to get the nicknames. And we had a little nickname talk with the Tory Taylor. Obviously, someone
crocodile punter punter's not in
very early on. And I was like, everybody loved it. I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I did try to coin the last punter nickname. We got it going. It's on Pro Football Reference as his official nickname. Like, you know, I made my mark in you know, professional football writing. But everybody liked crocodile punter. It just seemed to be the thing. So I was like, okay, fine, we'll roll with it. And then he's like, no, this is, I don't like that at all. Nothing Australia. And our colleague, Taylor Dahl, has pitched Kingpin as a good nickname. So, you know, pinning the opponent deep. And Bill Zimmerman has also called the pinball wizard. So there's a couple pin type of nicknames out there that we're playing with. Right now we're rolling with Kingpin. We'll see if it gets back to Corey.
I think Kingpin's going to be the one that catches on.
I think so too. It was very good by Taylor. So we're gonna roll with that. So maybe we can try to get Eberflus, the nickname, and see if he'll use it, or if we'll try to get it to Tori, see if that he's cool with that. I also want to know, like, has he seen the movie Kingpin? Like, if is that
90s classic,
right? You know, and there's a Bill Murray tie. Anyway, all right. Well, that's definitely what I had for that. Not as, again, I thought this category would just be rich, but it just has not been as much. It's been a lot more family stories and good stuff, fun stuff, but not like just total football guy stuff. You know, it's not like the Brian Cox. Brown.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
I thought you were going to go with the Browns. If you remember the Browns offensive line coach. The older, larger gentleman.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He was fantastic. Just talking about
the, we won World War II with push-ups.
Yeah, D-Day. And burpees and yeah, like that. That's the football guyism stuff. And there hasn't been a lot of it, but
no.
I think also that's almost a compliment for the Bears, where we have just really interesting people who are interesting beyond football. And so there's plenty of stuff to cover.
All right. So the big category, who won the episode?
There's only one answer here. That the episode started with him. He broke the team at the end. It's Caleb Williams, the prince who was promised. He is the guy. I would be really curious to see. I imagine with Chicago being the team and such a big market, the ratings are up. But, you know, Jeff, you know where we grew up, and I still live where we grew up, and there's some Bears fans here, but there's a lot of Vikings fans, Packers fans, Chiefs fans. It's all sorts of teams around here. But just the amount of people who come up to me and talk to me about Caleb, like, this is going beyond the Chicago Bears. Like, people are really, really curious as to what he's going to become. And he is the episode. About everything in the episode revolved around him. Tyson Bagent is Caleb's backup. Coach Flus was talking to Caleb. All the stuff that was happening in the game, most of it was coming from Caleb. About the only part that didn't really revolve around him was the stadium stuff with Kevin Warren. So, like, Caleb, this show is Caleb's show. And, I think he's living up to the hype so far. And I think he's the only answer for who won an episode. It's Caleb Williams.
Yeah, even the stadium stuff, there was a quote, the guy said, well, we're going to be good, so people are going to be on their feet for more than they're going to be sitting, or something like that. And I was just like, I mean, they feel it. And and I think that over the last week, there's still a lot of Bears fans that are nervous because they feel like they've been burned so many times, and they just have this like callous, you know, nature to them, and they can't get excited. And I just keep finding these really smart football people. He's really, and yes, like the guys that are more entertainers or whatever are also out there being really excited about Caleb, but really smart football people are like, yeah, this is why he was thought of as a generational prospect. You see it. Like, he's everything. He's all of these little things, like JT O'Sullivan, really smart football guy on the QB school, talks about just how impressive he is with these early reps. You see, different, you know, entertainers, you know, that are the Good Morning Football guys, Kyle Brandt, like, he's really excited. Yes, he's a Bears fan. He's going to be hyped anyway. But you have that like wide spectrum. You have like the super advanced football guy all the way to like the entertainment type guy, and everybody in between, they see it. And at some point, Bears fans, you're just going to have to get used to it. Like, you're just going to have to get used to leading segments. You're going to have to, you know, the Pat McAfee show leads off with Caleb Williams' performance, right? You're just going to have to get used to the Bears being back into the national conversation and just embrace it. Like, it has happened. And I think you're right. I had one name written down. It just says Caleb. And this was the Caleb episode. I would love to talk more about Torrey Taylor and talk about the punting and the holding. Like, he had a big segment, you know, for what he is and what he does, but you can't give this episode to Torrey Taylor. It is Caleb's episode.
I think Torrey Taylor, maybe as a punter, maybe got more coverage than all the other punters and all the other Hard Knocks combined. So I did write Torrey Taylor down just for a little shout out. Like, okay, he's the punter. He got 15 minutes and he's the punter, which was amazing. But it's Caleb. This is Caleb's team. This is Caleb's show. And I'm real excited to see where it all goes. Did you want to talk wins and losses and predictions?
Well, let's do what did we miss first. So let's just run through your notes and see if there's anything that you missed. So I thought I wrote down the why was he successful when Caleb was talking to Eberflus, and he said preparation and then confidence because of that preparation. I thought that was good. Johnny Lujack was mentioned. The last Bears All-Pro quarterback was Johnny Lujack back in like 1950 or something like that. We talked about the 10 Super Bowl button. We talked about Matt Ryan. I guess I wanted to circle back to what you talked about with Matthew Judon. So the way that I interpreted that segment was that and there was a lot of speculation throughout, you know, like, oh, the Bears didn't offer that. You know, there's people out there saying, oh, the Bears wouldn't have offered that much, or maybe they were offering something in the future. It sure sounded like they had similar compensation on the table to Atlanta. And then we heard some things about like, oh, we let Matthew Judon pick, you know, between the two teams or whatever. And I think that that actually has a little bit of truth to it, because I think the Falcons are willing to let him play on this 1 year deal. And I think he wants to hit free agency next year. And I think the Bears wanted, you know, the extension signed now so that he would be here for a couple of years. And so I think that that's interesting to see where Poles is at. He's not willing to spend up that a third round pick that's a day two pick. That's a legitimate compensation. He wasn't willing to spend that on a rental because he probably understands what this team is. Now, Matthew Judon's a really good football player. People are like, oh, he's 32. He was hurt last year. I tend to agree with Poles. Like, it's a bicep. It's not like a lower body injury. It's probably not going to hurt him into the future, but you never know. Like, that's the whole thing about these athletes is, you know, when they start to get hurt, other things start to kind of crumble around that. Like, it is really all about body maintenance in a lot of ways and keeping that athleticism. So, you know, there's certainly risk associated with it. And a third round pick is a lot to do, but I liked the fact that he knew what he wanted. He wasn't willing to budge on only getting a rental out of Judon. He wanted to make sure he got that contract signed into the future. Whether or not you agree with that approach, or say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that he's willing to spend. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is I liked that he knew what he wanted to do and wasn't willing to budge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a similar feeling about it. And, you know, early on in Poles' tenure, I really questioned some things. You know, number one, the Claypool trade, which in hindsight, you know, that's obviously a miss for him. But I mean, this guy keeps getting hits now and hit. And so if that's the way, if that's the choice that he thought was best, I trust him and I'm going to agree with him. Couple other things I had. I'm a sucker for slow motion shots, and especially slow motion shots in weather. So the joint practice with the Bengals, just seeing Caleb hit Keenan Allen a bunch, which was nice because he hasn't really hit Keenan Allen a bunch in the two preseason games yet. And those highlights were great. And just something else I liked about what happened to Caleb is I don't think it probably wasn't the actual audio they were using, but when his headset wasn't working. Yeah. And I think a lot of guys in that situation would just completely kind of flip out or, you know, something. And Caleb's just like, oh, no, I got it. I'll piece it together. I've got it. And just another one of the many things that's impressed me about Caleb Williams so far.
Did you buy the comment that he doesn't get nervous?
I was going to ask you that. No. But I, if he says he doesn't hardly get nervous, I believe that. But one nitpick I'll have with him is when people say 1 to 10 and he says 0. I don't like when people do that. just say 2, man. Just say 1 or 2. That's fine. I can do that. Don't say 0.
Do you hate it when people say 11? Like with like if they go above, like, hey man, if I wanted you to say 11, I would have said 1 to 11, right?
Yeah.
I don't buy it because I think that's just part of being an athlete. Now I think that maybe he might be saying like, oh, it's like nervousness in that, like it impacts me or that I feel uncomfortable or anything like, but there's gotta be something, right? And you know, I was always like, I guess I always worked with the assumption that if you weren't nervous, that it was time to hang it up.
Yeah.
Because there's something about that anticipation, that excitement that like you kind of need to feed off of. But also, like, I've never played quarterback at a high level. So maybe it, you know, really is like he's just kind of ice in the veins kind of guy.
And he's been doing this too for, you know, how many years, how many reps, and just how many big games he's played in. Dude's won Heisman Trophy. He's won so many awards. And so do I buy 0? No, I don't buy 0. But I believe he could be as cool as they come. And I'm here for it.
I also think that he may have been a little nervous in that first game because he came out and played pretty fast. So I'm curious if, again, his interpretation of what that is in the reality right. might be a little bit mismatched there. Do you have anything else?
Not that I can think of. I think we covered it all. No, you have anything else?
I really want somebody to find me Tyson Bagent's shirt that said like Bears strength shirt and had like the outline of Illinois on it. I would like to wear that shirt. I think that's a cool shirt. I don't know if that's available to the public, but I like it and I would like to have it. I don't know if that's like a Bears workout facility type of thing or if that's just like a literally like only the Bears football players
get
that, but I liked it.
I did have a question for you based off Tory Taylor, him getting himself to the game. So Jeff, you're left guard for the Chicago Bears. It's a noon game. You're getting yourself there. What time do you want to get there?
I mean, I'm probably getting there like 8 o'clock in the morning.
But like, okay, it's not like you're a regular. You're a pro left guard. You're established. What time are you getting there?
Probably still like 8?
9.
Yeah. I mean, it's early, right?
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta beat the traffic.
Yeah, you got to beat the traffic. Now, you know, they showed the hotel. And that's the hotel that we've stayed in. Yeah. That's the Players Hotel. And it's not that far from the stadium. Like you could walk. We have walked there.
I mean, I imagine if you're a player, you can't.
If you're walk playing, there. You're not going to walk there. But like if all else failed, you could walk there and get there pretty early. Although it'd be a weird, hey, I need it in the stadium. I'm playing today. That's probably like a nightmare that I've had though over the years. Like, you know, like there's just like recurring bad dreams. Uh-huh. I have recurring bad dream about like we're on a road, we're taking like a road trip on a road game, and I didn't pack my fill in the blank. Like I'm taking my gear out, and I don't have my pants, I don't have my shoulder pads, I don't have my helmet, whatever it is, right? Which happened to a teammate. We were in Dubuque for a game, and somebody did not take their helmet. No. And so somebody like that didn't play had to give that guy their helmet for the game. Like, you know, somebody that didn't play that had about the same size head had to change. I think we had a jersey once, you know, that we had to change too. So it didn't happen to me, but like it is and I haven't had that dream in a while, but there's like recurring dreams. That sounds like a dream, like have to get to the stadium and didn't get there on time.
We've never talked about this, but I have the reoccurring dream, but it's basketball. Like I forgot to pack my shorts or my shoes or my jersey. Drives me nuts. It kind of ruins my morning when I have that dream. I say,
wake up, you're kind of sweating.
Oh yeah.
You're like, yeah, no, it's a bad dream. I don't like that at all. So you say that I start getting nervous. Like, oh, I'm not going to get there on time. Right. Like I'm going to miss it. So before I let you go, I want to know, What are your expectations for this football season? And you can talk about record, you can talk about vibes, you can talk about, you know, playoffs or not making the play. What is it that you're thinking you know, it's March. We're looking back at the season that was, and you say, yeah, I feel pretty good about the Chicago Bears and the future of the Chicago Bears. What happened?
We need to win games. How many games for me to consider a success? I don't know. I want to see Caleb get better on a game-to-game, month-by-month basis, where when he drops back to pass, I don't get the feeling that I've had with about every other Chicago Bears quarterback to ever exist, ooh, that this might get picked off. I want Caleb to drop back, and I'm feeling like, okay, he's going to make the right decision. He's going to make a play. I want to see the defense to continue to build off the second half of last year where we're forcing turnovers, we're wreaking havoc. And I want us to be a team that if we do make the playoffs, that nobody is going to want to play because our star is on the rise. And I think that has a really good chance of happening where, you know, maybe we don't win a division. Lions, I imagine, are the favorite. The Packers are also going to be up there. But I think 11 wins, 10 wins is not far-fetched. Especially with the way this preseason has gone, I think 10 wins is a fairly safe bet. Do you happen to know the odds? Are the over-under of the Bears right now? Or
I think it's creeping up to 10.
Yeah.
It's definitely like it was when I put in my bets, which I've already got them in.
Was it 8.5?
I believe it was like 9.
Oh, 9.
And then it might have been 8.5. But and then it was barely positive money to say that they would make the playoffs. And now I think it's even money or you're given a little bit. So it's definitely swinging that way. There's smart football people that are starting to put this together. You know, I think Deontay Lee, I think that's his name. He mentioned he's really good. He knows defense really well. He said the Bears are going to be the team that no one wants to face come November. And I think that is basically what you said, right? Like, you know, this is going to be the team that they start figuring it out and putting it together and coming along that no one's going to want. And if you look at the schedule, that really is interesting because the early schedule is non-conference, you know, it's out of the division. And then they kind of hit the middle part of the schedule where it starts to maybe get a little bit interesting with some of the matchups. And then you get to the end of the year, it's like it's all division stuff. And so if this team's really hitting on all cylinders and humming, they could be playing some really meaningful divisional games. And, you know, who knows, right? And you know, we've talked about this many times. You just need to get in the playoffs. You know, you get a chip in a chair and who knows what happens, right? Just get in.
If you got the guy in your center that can win games and elevate his teammates, and a guy, Jeff, that on 1 to 10 is a 0 for nerves, I like our chances.
I mean, Matty Ice was in the episode, but this apparently Caleb Williams is actually ice in the veins with a 0. So, all right, good place to end it, Matt. Appreciate the time so much.
Thank you for having me.
We will figure out another project to work together because I still get compliments on Hallis the Mac, and you did a really great job of researching all of that and making me look good on a history podcast. And so we'll figure out another project in the near future. And for all of you joining us and listening to A Hard Knocks Life, we appreciate it. We got 2 episodes left. Next week, we're going to have Ryan Drosty on. And then for the last episode, I'm working on a special guest. So stick with us. And until next time, bear down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.